Hi, my name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 98, I think. So welcome. Two more. What are we going to do for the big 100?
I don't know.
Got to do something good. Got to celebrate our victories or our accomplishments or our, what's the word?
Benchmarks? Anniversaries.
Anniversaries. It looks like we have Holly. Have you been on a Zen Talk before? I'm sorry if you haven't, but or if you haven't, I haven't recognized that.
I can't.
Oh, it went in. It came in and went out.
There we go. No, I have it. It's my first time.
Awesome. Welcome.
Hi, Holly.
And everybody
I
else.
I feel like I know you already, though. So
yes, we feel like we know you. This is a very comfortable. We're all like we've like don't know that much about each other, but we're very tight. We're very close.
So welcome, Holly. And Hannah, I know you're not a new Team Zen member, but I don't know how many Zen Talks you've participated on. Is this isn't your first one, is it?
No, I think I've joined, this is maybe three.
Got it.
It's generally right during nap time, so we sometimes it can be a struggle.
Yes. And then Sarah, you look relatively new.
Sarah's got the, no. Sarah's been around forever.
Has she? Mm-hmm. Sarah, how
she's
many?
She's the one who has the question.
How many Zen Talks have you participated on? You're on mute. You're still on mute. You need to unmute yourself.
Maybe it's on our end. Try on our end.
I don't think so because everybody else is unmuting themselves.
Unmute. Got it. I got it. Hi. Sorry. This is the first time I'm actually attending with my face.
Yeah, got it.
I have attended a few a while back, but, I used to be able to do it from work and I don't have a webcam at work and plus can't really talk in the middle of my office.
Sure.
Right.
But now I have a house work. Yes. So, cause I work from home and, I actually don't work today. So,
God.
I'm logging in. Hi.
Hi, Sarah.
So glad to see you. Thank you for joining us.
And we were going to start with hers once you're done with your intro.
Well, I got another question from Darren.
Okay.
Do you have Sarah's question?
Well, at least I just want to check in with her because we've been kind of going back and forth on Facebook. So I just want to see how
so
she's
we got
doing.
A few questions in the bag. So let's first do a centering exercise. If you guys aren't walking around or doing something, sit, feet on the floor if you're comfortable. Put your back up straight, but not straight to the point where it's a stressful thing to do. And if you're comfortable, close your eyes. And we'll just do, 30 to 45 seconds of mindful breathing. And mindful breathing is simply breathing that we do, and we're focusing on our breath. So breathe all the air out of your lungs with an exhale. Nice big inhale. Quick pause and then nice slow exhale. And just do that on your own for 30 seconds. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. All right.
You said breathing that we do while we focus on our breath.
I said mindful breathing is breathing that we do when we're focusing on our breath.
Right? I liked it. It just kept going in my head. It was kind of like a little thing we'd say to a kid. Breathing that we do while we focus on our breath.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, I don't know what mindful breathing is. And then I'm like, oh, it's when you're putting your attention on your breath. And the breath is just like the on-ramp. It's not like it's, I don't know, we could have a whole discussion about this. It's not like that's the right way to meditate, but it's an on-ramp to get out of the worries and concerns and future worries and past fears or whatever. So it's just kind of a vehicle towards presence.
And just so you guys know, every time you stop yourself to do present breathing or mindful breathing, your ego will tell you it's not important. Mm-hmm. And the reason the ego will tell you it's not important or that it's dumb or that you don't want to do it or that you don't have time is when you start to breathe mindfully, the ego gets to the background. So the ego's job is to stay alive and stay full in front. So if you sometimes are like, this is so dumb, or this is so, my brain does it every time. Just like every time I sit down, I have like moments of like, oh, do I really have to go through all this breathing? But it's because the ego fights it, because it doesn't want to not be center stage. Yeah. So just understand that, that resistance is normal. So it's, but it's not the wisest voice in your head. Mm-hmm. It's not the one you want to listen to.
It's actually a wonderful take, sweetie. And then adding to that, I judge that, you know, I consider myself a good parent, not a perfect parent, not a bad parent. And if I took, you know, somebody's like, well, I don't have time to take 30 seconds, just one conscious breath. And the story that I make up is my parenting utility increases fivefold if I take one conscious breath before reacting to something my kids are doing.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I don't know if my brain ever thinks I don't have, well, sometimes it does. I don't have time for this. I think the brain just says, this is dumb. Mm. This is, at least mine does. Mine will be like, you don't need to do this. Move on to the next thing. But I see it. I try to see it for what it is. So it's just resistance. And yeah. If you want to learn more about resistance, Stephen Pressfield has a book called The War of Art. Mm. I always say it the wrong way, The Art of War, The War of Art. And the whole book is about our resistance to things and how normal it is. And if you can accept resistance, it's the shadow of all things, then you're less afraid of it. As soon as you get excited about something, you'll feel resistance. As soon as you are like, ooh, I have a good plan, you'll get resistance. And that just goes with light. You can't have the sun without a shadow. So it's helpful to me.
And the last thing I'll say is I just ordered this from Dunkin' Donuts. It's a green matcha tea, and it's like milk-based because I don't like coffee, and I was very excited, and I drank almost the whole thing, and it wasn't good at all.
Are you shaky from the coffee, or is there coffee in it? No.
Am I shaky from the coffee?
Is there coffee in it?
No.
Okay.
It's like a green tea. I thought it was going to be good.
Oh, tea. You said that. I'm sorry.
I thought it was going to be good. It turns out it's not good. So if anybody has any good non-coffee Dunkin' Donuts drinks that they can offer, put it in the chat box because I was so excited for it, but I spent $2.78. So I had to drink the whole thing, even though I didn't like it.
That makes complete sense.
Doesn't it?
No. Okay.
So did you want to start with Sarah?
Yeah. So let's start with Sarah because she's here.
Do we want her to say it?
So, she can decide how much she wants to share. She's kind of had a rough go for the last week or two. And we were kind of talking on Facebook, with her because she's had a lot going on. So she can share as much as she wants, and I would just want to see how she's doing.
All right, Sarah.
I'm actually going to change locations briefly. I don't know how good I'm doing. I don't know how much I can even rehash of what's going on with me. I had lots of anxiety dreams last night. It's like if I move from one thing that causes me anxiety to the next, and I don't know, this morning when I woke up, I focused like mostly on my friend being angry at me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of this constant thing. I guess probably because my husband has 4 nights off, so he doesn't have to go back to work till Sunday afternoon. I'm received something like 35 text messages from my mother-in-law and her sister regarding the fact that they have Trump decided to send the federal mm-hmm. police into our city.
Correct.
And what that means for our city. So, and what that means for what he's going to do when he goes back to work.
Her husband's a police officer in Seattle.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I guess I'm jumping straight in and going right over it. I'm sorry. Okay.
We can fill in the pieces because I know everything you said on Facebook was a lot. Her husband is a police officer. There is a lot of unrest in the city, and there's a lot of people who are like angry with them because he's a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. that sums it up pretty well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think that we just like with him home, we can sit down and we can talk and we can be a unit and be okay with each other. And like our family is like his parents are tight with us as far as that goes. But it's amazing how people come out of the woodwork to tell you that they don't support you. In very unusual ways. And so I mostly left Facebook, except to check in with Zen Parenting. That's pretty much it. I have touched in with a couple of other people. But it's been really unusual to be told that I can, I have a friend who has like said, yeah, we should talk. You let me know how you're doing. And then I start expressing how difficult it is. And she's just like, that's too much. And I can't hold space for you. Mm-hmm. And it's been back and forth with that. And that's been like a weighing on me this morning. But so it's just like, I feel like the only persons I can really talk to are like my husband and my mother-in-law, but then my husband goes to work. And then I sit kind of alone in my own terror. So, yeah.
Wow. This is really interesting. So, Sarah, if I can just kind of like summarize it, you're feeling anxious because your husband's a police officer in Seattle. It sounds like there's some judgment of your husband or your whole family because he's a police officer, which is all like content. But basically, you're feeling uneasy, you're reaching out for support, and some of the people that you're reaching out support to are not really
supportive.
It reminds me of Helen from last week or 2 weeks ago. It's kind of different, but the bottom line is there was some connection between friends and those expectations weren't met, mm-hmm. right? But Helen's situation was actually a lot different now that I think about it. So, I would just first say, just breathe into the anxiety and just allow you to feel anxious. And I feel, COVID, I think every single person on this call is some form of anxiety about something, whether it's about parenting or COVID or something else. So you're not alone. I first want to say that. And now I'm going to turn it over to my sweetie, let her tell.
Well, it's funny that he would say it that way, because I think that, you know how you said you woke up in this morning, you were focused on your friend. I think our fear always needs somewhere to go, and we prefer it. Even let's take COVID out of it. Let's go a year back before we were dealing with the pandemic and everything. I think fear, I call it a bottomless pit, like where if something goes right, then our fear goes to the next thing. I think that for you right now, and this may sound funny, but focusing on your friend is probably a better place to be than focusing on the fear of your husband and your family. Like, and I'm saying that literally, like it gives your fear a place to go that is less taxing, even though it's still taxing. I'm not saying it's easy with your friend, but what I'm saying is it kind of allows your emotions to get worked up rather than having to sit and think about the safety of your husband, which is pretty significant, right. And not feeling supported. It's interesting because I would, your friend who said, I'm here for you, but then you start talking to her and she says, I can't hold the space for that. There is, like, I'm curious if her, I can't hold the space for that is about the political issues at play, or if it's about, it's literally too much because I have a lot going on too. And that, you know, if.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty. Sorry, my daughter's.
Don't apologize. Everyone here has kids. Our kids walk by too. So don't apologize. I just didn't want to talk over your child.
No, it's okay.
But what I'm saying is that even in that conversation, and it is similar to Helen, as we get really offended, understandably, there's nothing wrong. I would be offended too, because it's kind of, we're being vulnerable and someone shuts the door. Mm. Like I tell Todd sometimes when I'm telling him something vulnerable and he gets on his phone or something, I'm like, I feel embarrassed. Like, I feel like, geez, yes. I'm telling you something so vulnerable and you're not even here.
But I haven't done that in a while.
No. I'm just using it as an example. As an example of, like, I know that feeling of where you just shut down. Because I use the word embarrassing because it's so hard to be vulnerable in the first place. And when someone is like, oh, no, I can't hold that. It's like, but the but is, depending on who this friend is to you, through text or another way, you can say, If you want, and again, I know this isn't really the problem. I'm just, we don't need to, you know, problem solve this, but you could say, let's, you know, when we get together, I'll share some, but let's talk about some things. Let's talk about other things too. Like, because when her, I don't know what her focus is and if it's political or whatever, but the truth is I actually just had coffee with a few friends across the street at the park. We just social distance. And I came home and said to Todd, sometimes I forget that every single person is struggling right now. Hmm. I'm so in my own life and world, and I'm watching social networking. It's not that I don't literally know, but when we start talking to people and we have all this pain and fear, and then you're like, oh my God, they have that pain and fear too. And we realize that we all kind of have to not hold our own necessarily, but we're all kind of in it together rather than one friend is strong for another friend who's struggling. We're all struggling. So it's like we have to find a way to meet each other in that place. Now, with that said, Sarah, one thing that has been really helpful to me lately, and it was, I'm trying to think, oh, I read Jen Pasteloff's book called On Being Human. And one thing she talked about a lot is, and again, when I say this, you guys are going to go, Kathy, I know, journaling. But it's not just journaling for the sake of journaling, but like exactly what you said, all your fears, we have got to say them. And if someone doesn't have room to feel them, or if your husband is not home when you're feeling them, you have got to put them somewhere. Even if it's just a bunch of, like my handwriting now is so abhorrent. Like I'm like, did I used to have good handwriting? But I just need to write it out. Like, I am afraid of this. I am afraid of this. I am worried about this. I am thinking about this. And there's something about that emotional dump doesn't take it away. It just lessens it a little. Like, Sarah, the position you're in right now with all the things you have to think about, like what I said on Facebook was, it will not always be this volatile. And I promise you it won't be. But right now it is. So you have to have a place to dump it, if it be through writing or through, and you were talking about your therapist and that she's struggling too. And I want you to know all therapists are struggling and they have the room to hear their clients. If they don't, then they're not taking appointments. Mm-hmm. So if she gave you an appointment, she can hear you. Like I'm seeing people a couple of days a week. And if I don't have room for it, I don't keep the appointment. I mean, I'm not canceling on people, but what I'm saying is I wouldn't be scheduling people if I couldn't hear it. So I don't want you to feel like, ugh, like she, like, don't think about what your friend said to you, that your therapist is feeling the same way. She has room, that she's trained. She knows how to differentiate between her issues and yours.
I have a few things. One is, I'm going to put on my judgment hat real quick. So
don't judge her though.
I'm not going to judge her. You're judging me. You know, before
this is why when Sarah wrote on Facebook, she said, you guys, I'm fragile right now, please be kind. And I just don't, I want to like hold her.
Thank you for being cautious. I'm judging. So it's going to come, don't worry. It's going to turn good.
Okay.
I'm judging Sarah's friend for a second. Cause as a friend of somebody, I can't imagine.
Please judge her.
Yes. I can't imagine obviously you have confidence and trust in whoever this person is. And I can't imagine saying to one of my buddies, you know what? I just can't hold it. And you know, Helen's friend said something similar, like, I just can't hold the space for you. And I'd be like, dude, like I need support. So I just want to like judge that person for a second. But the gift in that is your friend is like setting up a healthy boundary, because you don't want to go to somebody who doesn't have the space to handle. So like, bless your friend for telling you at this moment she doesn't have the space for you. So like, in a way, like my judgmental hat says, fuck up, your friend needs help, help them. And then the non-judgmental hat is, thank you, friend, for being direct and honest about what she can't handle. And I want to read.
I will agree with you there, but I do want to say that she's set a boundary and then pulled it back.
Sure.
Multiple times. Like, this is like the third time now where she was like she sets a boundary. I can't handle something. And then I'm like, okay, great. And then all of a sudden she's like, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you talking to me? I miss you so much. What's going on? And then I tell her what's going on. And she's like, oh no. And I'm like, okay, you know.
So it reminds me of the quote, you know, was it Oprah or Maya Angelou who said, trust people when they show you who they are. So this is a friend that confuses you. Like, she's a confusing friend. And just don't expect for a confusing friend to be non-confusing. So that's the one thing. And I want to read Jen's chat. She says, My girlfriend was in a similar situation. Her husband is a police officer in Chicago. She found a group of police officers' wives, and they have been a great support during for her during all of this. And then she has the link to policewivesofamerica.org/findwives. Like, okay. I don't know. That's kind of a cool resource.
Ooh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. And I don't really like journaling that much, at least not at this point. I would much rather, you know, do a video chat with a buddy. But, you know, journaling, Kathy's into it. She's got piles of books of journals.
I know. I always say if I, like, get hit by a bus, that my whole family's going to be like, oh, my God. Just don't read them. Just throw really? Them away. Well, do you don't want to read all that?
Sure I do. But anyways, I don't like reading anyway, so I probably won't read it. But just find your outlet. If it's journaling, great. But if it's like posting a video on Team Zen Facebook page or doing a video chat with another friend saying, I just want you to listen to me. So just promise me you'll watch it. And if you don't want feedback, say, I don't want feedback, but I just need to get this out. So,
well, and that's why I like, and again, this is better. I'm so glad you're here for something live because, I mean, live as we can be with each other on Zoom. But we are a group, so we all have space for it. Do you see what I mean? Like, none of us is holding it by ourselves. Like, we all have space for it. Like, you could tell a whole story right now, and we would all be able to listen because none of us feel like it's our job. We can just be there. So, like Todd said, you know, writing something there or coming here, not only do we have space for it, but there's no way I could say that I know how you feel because I don't. But this political issue between defunding the police and understanding what's going on with the police and supporting the police. It's again, this place that we don't have, people are struggling with the gray. And I have had to have conversations with my own daughters about, because they're in this generation of, you know, like the police. And I'm like, you guys, listen, first of all, Todd's dad was a police officer. There's a lot of police officers in his family. So I always start with, this is bigger than just what you're looking at out there. There are people you love very much who do this job and have done this job, just to kind of bring it home. And then to explain to them, we need police. We need to honor what the police do, just like essential workers. What we need is a reframing and figuring out how to diversify what they're expected to do, meaning bringing in more social workers. And I said, but right now they're getting all the heat and there's no way to solve this simply. They are literally in the fire, right? Yeah. And something's got to burn away and it's yucky and it's not right. You know, this idea that we have to be either against or for, like there's all this middle, but we seem to struggle with that place. So I want you to know, as far as because of the people I know on this team, that we get that. There's no, like, I can understand why we need a shift in this culture when it comes to policing, and also 100% support your husband and what he goes out and does for your community every day. Like,
that's
what
the thing. He signed up to be part of that change. We want change. We want more community services, more community policing, more of that. We want that. But all of the models say add that in and slowly pull back on the other, you know, warrior mentality. Because otherwise you leave wide open space of nothing where crime just doesn't stop. It's not like
totally. Hold it's on, just, robbers. Stop.
Wait. Stop. We're going to figure this out in a minute. Not to mention all of the truly acute issues that nobody, like everybody seems to have forgotten about, domestic violences.
Totally.
Especially right now during COVID, where people are attacking each other in their own houses and like, but no, I guess that's not a problem anymore. No, that's still a problem. And right. So, yeah.
Everything still exists. And Todd and I being Chicagoans, and I know Jen is too, and is anyone else here from Chicago? Like, you know, this is as, you know, as far as what federal agents Trump is sending in, we're next. So we're right after Seattle. So my point is that we see the necessity, like just even the protests that we've gone to in the city, the police are there supporting us. Do you know what I mean? Like there
even
is-
Even though there's people holding up signs that are nasty.
Toward them. And they're there with their masks and they're there supporting us and, you know, and it's finding that balance. Like Todd and I've had some good moments with being able to, you know, being at a protest and then sitting down with one of the police officers and having conversation. And he was so lovely about what's, and I know that sounds crazy, but it's like, it's again, it's everything we talk about on this show of we have to be able to hold two things as truth at once. Is that we can protest and say, this needs to change. But this man in front of me or your husband is doing the best he can with the model he has. And if he has a new model and a new system and new leadership, he will follow that protocol. And so this is a top down, you know, we're working through it, but I wish I could offer you more for the moment. Like the moment just sucks.
I keep thinking the moment is going to be a little shorter and it just keeps going on and on. And I think that's the other thing is that, oh my God, it's just still happening. It's still happening. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, okay, it's going to let up and it lets up for 5 seconds and then it's worse again somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's like that tentacles. And I think everyone can relate to this regardless. Like you think, okay, we got this under control. And then some gross tentacle pops out of this other piece. And I'm using these gross words because that's what it feels like. It's like, like a morphing monster where it's like we can't get our arms around it and keeps growing in different ways.
President.
Definitely.
I mean, just no doubt about it. And I know I have no problem talking about that. Not that I ever did, but for crying in the dark.
Oh my gosh.
Leadership. And that's not going to happen. And see, even that
Sweetie, this is our opportunity to just like blindly vent that we can't do on the big podcast.
No, I don't want to dump on. We are here for them. And
everybody wants to hear us get mad at Trump.
They hear us. They know.
Everybody wants.
We need leadership, and we are going to the hardware store for milk. He doesn't have it. It's never going to happen. And that's what's frustrating is because I, for at least 3 years, kept saying, how could this? And I'm done doing that. Of course this is happening. Of course.
I'm not done doing that.
No. But
here it is. This is what Kathy says. Help me understand. I can't make sense of this for you.
I know.
And you're not done.
I'm not done.
All right. Okay. We're going to move on. Bless you, Sarah. Keep us up.
So right on the page. Obviously, you can always email us. You can do an email dump to us if you'd like. I'm not, again, I won't have, I probably won't have anything. I won't have a really easy solution, but I'm happy to hold it in my email. Like we have room for you. Okay. Yeah. So just.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
So this came from Darren, and it's a really good question that I think is on the top of minds. Kathy doesn't know what I'm about to read. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it anyways. I'd love to hear your general comments on how to manage the stress and anxiety of the upcoming school year.
Oh, God.
And changes with uncertainty we are encountering with our kids this year. I live in the suburb of Nashville. Our district just announced that the school will start out the first 2 weeks remotely, and we are in an area experiencing upticks. Her sons are in 8th and 10th grade. I'm relieved that it was just announced remote for the first 2 weeks. We do have an online option, but it's a semester commitment and the class selection and options are not parallel to the in-person options. The district has said that they will make decisions every 2 weeks and their goal is to get kids back in school in person. I guess I'm really struggling with seeing and hearing a lot of backlash from our school's district's decision. I've watched this closely and believe the administrators made the right call during a very difficult decision that was left to the local superintendent in our state. There is a big portion of my community who appears to want schools back in session, face-to-face, disregarding safety and health concerns. And I'm fearful many of the kids who will be going back to school with my sons come from families who think this is a hoax, all for show for the election, and that masks are ridiculous. I don't want my kids to be the guinea pig test for the rest of the country. As you can imagine, I live in a very conservative community overall. My core values include trying to look for the opportunity, stay positive, and focus on what I can control, not what I can't, like being informed, staying positive, modeling resilience, supporting my kids, regularly evaluating the decision to make sure it still meets our needs. But I hate these decisions about whether school will go back in person are out of my control and are very short term. I'm trying to treat this like I would in a crisis. I was advocating for my sons at school, day by day decisions, knowing that I may change my mind.
For my sons at a hospital. Yeah.
Sorry, for my sons at a hospital. Day by day decisions, knowing that I may change my mind about our decision or find resources that change the course based on what happens. But it's really hard. And if I make the decision by Sunday to send them online. It's for the entire semester, and neither son wants online, much more self-directed, and I respect that. P.S. Dr. John Duffy's recent interview that he posted with Bill and Wendy was really good. Thanks for your consideration. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I think some of the things that Darren said are some of the things that I would say. You guys, even if your school district told you what they're doing, they have no idea what they're doing. And I don't mean because they're not smart. I mean, there is no final anything. School districts are throwing things out to start the structure. It's almost like a bones. Like, here's the things we're thinking about. Let's start to get some numbers. Let's start to figure out who's considering this, who's considering this. And then week by week, it will be adjusted depending on what's happening. Now, what I've been hearing, and again, this is in Illinois, so I can't speak for the other states, is that, first of all, a lot of schools in Illinois have decided to go completely online, at least for the first month or the first semester. It's different for every school system. But the ones who have decided, like, they're going to do a hybrid learning or go back to school, they had to start there so they could tick it down if they needed to. And some of it is political in nature, in that they're starting there to not piss people off. And then as things show up number-wise, they'll take it down. Because if you start online, if that's what you say your district is going to do, there's nowhere to go. Do you know what I mean? So they're kind of like appeasing people. It's a little like, you know, when, like, one of the, I've been reading a lot about, you know, they don't have a lot of research yet, but about, you know, this, our ability to wear masks in this country and the gradual introduction of masks. And one thing that a lot of the epidemiologists knew, because they work in a milieu setting with psychologists and social workers, is Americans were not ready to wear masks. We weren't ready. And if they would have said immediately put on a mask, there would have been a bigger revolt. Now, the reason that they said don't put on a mask is because, you know, essential industries needed the PPE. There was a logical reason, like, we can't take all that PPE because they need it right now. But the other part was they had to gradually introduce something new to us where we would get used to doing it. It's very similar in the school district in that they have to gradually give us information to get people. There's a psychological component here. So we want to have some certainty about this is what's going to happen. And what sucks is nobody knows, not even the superintendents. They don't. And so people, what now, as far as how do I make you feel better about that? I can't. Like, it's super uncomfortable. And I think that the things I've seen, let me give you some good news. The things I've seen in the last like 4 days have been the creativity of the parents around me and the willingness to say, okay, if it does go this way, like, and a lot of them have said, okay, we'll do the hybrid, knowing that the hybrid might fail. Okay, we're going to do the hybrid. But if it does go this way, here's what we're going to do. The neighborhood is going to work together. We're going to have, like, our neighbor next door asked if our girls would read with some of the elementary school kids during the day. And so their parents weren't doing all the parent, you know, all the teaching. They've, like, a lot of the homes in Elmhurst, they're like getting into pods. And they're starting to figure out kind of like a homeschooling kind of, let's be in this together rather than just focus on that it's all on me. So, and again, that is going to look different depending on your community, where you live. I'm not saying go find a pod. I'm saying that this is going to be a very creative and on the fly semester. And as far as things like children are going to get behind and everything, everybody is. And it's okay. It's, your kids are going to be just fine. Like, one thing that I was telling my neighbor yesterday is when my daughter, who's 17, started kindergarten, they told us, and this was her first year, they told us kindergarten is now first grade. The curriculum has been shifted where now kindergarten is first grade, which I was like, oh, crap. Because
in kindergarten, I did a lot of finger painting and counting to 10.
Right. And that's not what kindergarten is anymore. So 17 years ago, at least in Illinois, that's when they shifted it. So, like, before, the kindergarten classrooms had like play stoves and it looked more like a preschool. That's not what kindergarten's like anymore. We've been pushing kids beyond their development level for years and years and years, saying read faster, read sooner, do math sooner, get into AP sooner. It's not necessary. My point is, if your kids have a year where they're learning or maintaining, they're going to be fine. All these standards and all of this imposing that we do on kids is a race against other a like other, it's like a political race. It's kind of like who's going to get to the moon first, yet we're doing it like, wrong.
You know, the kids from India, the kids from China are passing the U.S. kids up. So we had to make a shift.
We were making a shift. So what I want to tell you is if you are feeling now like my kid was behind last year, it's I'm not saying it's no big deal. Education's no big deal, but it's okay. They have a whole lifetime of learning, of having things that stimulate their interests. Like my kids, like for them, school didn't really take off until, you know, a couple years in, second, third, fourth. Like there is the whole idea that kids should be at a certain place at a certain time is a construct.
And I would suggest a few things. One is there's a movie called The Race to Nowhere. It's old, but it's good.
Watch The Race to Nowhere.
And maybe this is an opportunity for us parents to give our kids crash courses on nature, emotional literacy, emotional intelligence. Like, you know, we're going to have to do all the stupid math and English and all that stuff. But,
hi, Cammie.
But, you know, use this as an opportunity. Like, you know, if your kids are going to be home more often, maybe it's an opportunity to look at the tree in the front yard and really see what's going on with that tree. I don't know.
What I will say, though, to add to what Todd is saying is that the school district is still imposing expectations.
Sure.
So we can't like go veer off too far from the school. I don't know if you guys have been reading, but about the girl in Birmingham who was put in
Alabama?
No, Birmingham, Michigan, where Laura lives.
And what happened?
Well, there was a girl who was already on probation because she had had some experiences that weren't great with the law.
Yeah.
But then she wasn't turning in her assignments and she wasn't keeping up with coursework and she got put in a juvenile detention facility. So that's not going to happen to your kids. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of that, these things out here that we have to pay attention to, that they start to criminalize education. Don't even get me into that story. I get all worked up about it. But my point is that this is going to be, everybody's in the same boat globally. And it doesn't mean we stop caring about school. It doesn't mean we don't teach our kids, you know, you got to be online at this time and we got to get this done. But what we are being given is the flexibility of how it gets done, which I know for some parents, especially if you're a working parent, this is so much easier said than done. I don't have like simple, like this is how it'll look. But this is like our boundaries of control are being tested in some of the, I've never experienced this in my lifetime. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any like, oh, this is how this worked out and this is how this will look. I have no idea. But what I know is every morning when I wake up and try and put my arms around it and control it, it's more exhausting. So we're having to living day by day. And I think one thing I will say, and I know because if you guys are on Team Zen, you probably are in this, is as much as your school districts may be, maybe you're feeling good about what they're doing or you're respecting what they're doing, or maybe you're pissed at what they're doing, but know that the school districts they're human beings too, and they don't know how to do this and they're trying their best. Some more than others. I know there's certain people that I know, you know, are frustrating to work with depending on where you are. But my point is that we got to be thoughtful about being creative and helpful rather than blaming and scolding and taking an individual to task. Like our energy that way, it doesn't create something new. So we can speak up, but.
So to Darren, not sure if that helped. I don't, you know, if I can encapsulate what at least a message I want to send, is just settle into the ickiness and the discomfort of this because we're all dealing with it. So let's see. I'm going to read Jen's thing. Oh, and Dawn has something too. Good. So we got a few things.
Okay.
So Jen says, the group of people that I'm processing this with came up with norms on how we commit to engage with each other as we decide what's best for our family. So thank you for that. So we're going to go to Holly and then we're going to go to Dawn. I'm going to ask Holly to unmute. Here we go. Hi.
Okay. Hi. I just wanted to comment on what you were saying, Kathy. I homeschooled both of my kids from kindergarten through. My daughter started school in seventh grade at a private school, very hippy dippy. We're on the West Coast, California, Santa Cruz. You guys know where that is.
Yes.
And my son started in fourth grade because he really needed to be in a school situation. But we did a form of homeschooling called unschooling.
Yeah.
Kind of, or very eclectic. And so they didn't have very much formal schooling. And but we worked with the charter, try to keep it brief. And so they had to do some stuff. But what I say is they're fine. They're both in school now. My daughter gets straight A's.
Yeah.
She was like, she's great. She's really self-motivated. My son, not so much, but he had his first year of public school this year and he did just fine. And I found that for them, dealing with this whole COVID situation, it was a lot easier for them to go back into the house because they were not worried that they weren't going to be learning anything. And I think a lot of kids, like for them, they think they can't learn unless they're at school. Mm-hmm. And it's really about showing them that, you know, learning's lifelong and you can learn doing anything and they'll be fine. I just want everyone to know your kids are going to be fine. Yeah, they are.
Holly. And did you have a question to Holly or no?
Yeah, I have like tons. So I thought I could totally throw one out. So I have a couple if you have time.
Let's do one.
One is, so the son that is not as self-motivated as my daughter, he's going to be 13 this fall. And so we're kind of entering a different form, you know, relationship situation where I can't micromanage him, nor do I want to. And I'm wondering how you keep someone who's not motivated with school and showing up for himself and has a little bit of confidence issues, like maybe some things I could do to support him. Like he's super into video games and I hate that whole battle with him. So he probably does more than he should, but I can't keep fighting all the time. And that kind of leads into my other question too, like a little bit. Conflict within the home. Tips for like when maybe you and your spouse are not seeing a whole eye to eye on all the COVID stuff. Like generally we're very similar, but we're struggling with like what we both feel comfortable with. And letting each other be who they are.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like the first question was your son's not motivated to study school stuff, but he loves video games.
Well, and also just like she's like, how do I give him some structure and some motivation?
Well, I think next week's podcast, Kathy and I kind of got on a rant with each other about screen time, so not specific to video games. Mm-hmm. We haven't recorded it yet, but if we're still inspired to talk about it, because it's such a huge topic that we hear all the time. So I feel like we're going to tackle that in depth on Tuesday's podcast if we continue to feel the mojo, which I think we will. Basically what happened was Kathy and I started talking and I started typing into my phone as Kathy was making comments. Because the problem is Kathy does not remember what she says because it's not coming from here. It's coming from here. So I don't know where it's coming from, but it's come from somewhere else. So we're going to take a deep dive into that. So maybe that will help out. And maybe we can even include your question. And it's not just about screen time, it's about motivation.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I think is always, and I've said this a lot on the show and here as far as a reminder, is sometimes when we want to tackle something with our kids, like we're seeing something like motivation is lacking or whatever, we try and do things kind of around it. Like, how can I show up and do this? And I'm going to try and do this. And I'm going to try and do this. And I always say, go right into the core of it. Meaning go to your son and say, I want to support you with motivation. And how can I do that? Like, or do you feel unmotivated? Or is that not the right word? Or I notice this. Do you feel this way? Or am I just picking up on something that isn't real? Like, I think as parents, especially when it, not so much motivation, less so, but when we're worried about something like video games or sex or drugs or alcohol, we like try and do these things around it. And I'm like, just go for the core of it, because he may be like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I understand that sometimes our kids push us off, but it's like you already cracked the, you know, it's all out there. So you're, instead of trying to like facilitate something, a beating around the bush, you're just like, and you don't even have to say you're concerned, because I think kids get defensive when we say we're concerned. Just say, I'm noticing A, B, and C. Is that true for you, or am I missing something? Let him tell you what he thinks he needs.
Can I be devil's advocate?
Sure.
I'm going to be 13-year-old son. I'm going to be Holly's son. I'm not unmotivated.
Well, that's why I wouldn't say, I feel like
that when something happened, like you'd want to use a specific last night when we were like arguing about you getting something done, it felt like you didn't feel motivated, but maybe I'm reading that wrong. Like, what do you feel like you're getting things done?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's the case, there's these things that aren't done. So what can I do, or how can we work together to help you get these things done? Like, what works best for you?
Yeah. I don't want to do those things.
Okay. He's just going to be like, and you guys may say, that's my son.
Perfect.
That's my son. And the thing is sometimes you have to know when to cut your losses, meaning mm-hmm. And this isn't my son, so I don't have any, I'm speaking generally, where most likely what I'd say, but what about last night when we were talking about blah, 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 and you said blah, blah, blah. Say, I'm not kids don't want to hear that you're worried about them. That's who wants to hear that? Like, that's like when your spouse is like, I'm worried about you. You want to be defensive.
So I'm going to come in with a kind of a completely different thing. That's probably going to be annoying. So just get ready to be annoying.
You're going to be annoying, not me.
Part of me wants to say, cause you know, we're dealing with the issue or the challenge is 13-year-old son's not motivated. And I think that we need to do some of the things that Kathy's talking about. Have a conversation, be on his team instead of being the parent who's trying to, all that is very important. In addition to that, I feel like we need to do our own work around it. So what does that mean? So we've talked at length on this Zen Talk and on the podcast about Byron Katie's The Work. And it's four questions and a turnaround. And it's really kind of using this challenge of the 13-year-old son not being motivated, what is this here to teach me about myself? And I know that's like annoying, like I don't want to fix myself, I just want to fix my kid. But it's four simple questions and a turnaround, and I'm not going to go through them all right now. I can find it in the show notes because we did a Zen Talk specifically about The Work, and it's just a way to reframe. And basically what the bottom line of Byron Katie's The Work is, how can the opposite of my story be true? And the story is my 13-year-old kid is unmotivated. And it challenges us to say, how's the opposite of that true? And the opposite of that would be, how is my 13-year-old kid motivated? And to seek out evidence to support that. Or how, and then another opposite would be, how am I unmotivated? Like, it's like, we have to do like, help our kid deal with this, but then we also need to do our own work. Like, what is my role?
What's my worry? What do I think this means?
All that stuff.
Yeah. Because those kind of things, it's not necessarily about solving anything for your son. It's about being clear. Like, for example, if you have more than one kid, you guys probably have an experience with one of your children who does things the way you do, and it makes you super comfortable. Like, you're like, oh, that's the kid who's in all these activities, and that's the kid who gets things done on time, and that's the kid. And we're like, that's how I live life. That makes me super comfortable. And then you'll have a kid who has a different way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but I'm not comfortable with that way because I don't understand how it works. And that doesn't mean that they don't, even the kid who's getting things done still needs support. And, you know, but my point is that sometimes when we break down, what is it that I expect? And like, it's kind of a combination of what Todd and I said, like the reason I always talk to my girls about like, what am I not seeing? What am I missing? Is a lot of times they are doing more than what I'm recognizing. What I'm uncomfortable with is you're not doing it the way I would do it. Just do it the way I would do it. And then I start to notice that, oh, they are actually getting this done, or they are motivated in a different way. That doesn't mean you don't set boundaries on tech time. It doesn't say, oh, now you can do whatever you want. It's kind of like we were talking to Sarah about, many things can be true at once. Mm-hmm. You can still have boundaries and say, this is our new tech time stuff, and still talk to him about what he does to feel more motivated. Like, a lot of, you know, balls can be in the air where you're like, the reason that I wanted to do a full show about this is because parents come to us with and this isn't you, Holly, your question isn't specific to this.
It's me too. I struggle with this crap too.
No, everybody does. Yeah.
Everybody does. And people want, like, what do I do when? And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Like, there's so many things that have, like, why is a kid on technology? Why do they love it? Why do they want to do that instead of this? Why do they not want to talk to you about it? Why are they addicted to it? Why? And there's like a million. So like, to say, what rule do I impose on my kid? Which wasn't your question at all. But when people ask us that question, there is no answer. And anybody who says, do this format and this reward chart, it's all like smoke and mirrors, because that doesn't get to the heart of it, which is, we have to, it's kind of like, with COVID, we have to learn how to live with video games. And we got to figure out how to talk about it. And we got to figure out how to, and for us with, our daughters don't game, but they, you know, it's their phones and the social networking and
Netflix
and YouTube. Like, we have to figure out how to live in it, which forces us to be like, okay, what is this? Rather than, so, and again, I'm going down a different path from Holly's question, but we will talk about it more this week. I'll make a commitment that we'll, because sometimes I say, I don't want to talk about that anymore, but I'll do.
We had three ideas before we pressed record last week. I said, I want to do this. And then Kathy's like, no, let's do that. And then like 30 minutes before we pressed record, Kathy's like, I want to do this.
I have too many people in my life who are spreading around conspiracy theories. I had to say something about it. Yeah. I was like, dudes, my friends were like, this isn't bad, is it? I'm like, yes.
So real quick, I will kind of own the fact that there's nothing more where my energy drops when there is a mom or a dad who talks about screen time and technology, or how do I get my kid to start jumping through the hoops I want him to jump through. And what I realized, I need to own that piece. The reason I get triggered by that
is because
I totally struggle with it. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Another question about screen time. I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. So I just need to like, and that's the work I'm talking about. It's like so easy for me to judge all the moms and dads who want us to give them ideas on how to manage screen time. My work is to, for me to better understand my relationship with my own screen time, with their screen time. Like, I don't like giving advice to anybody unless I know they're doing their own work. And there's times when parents just want the quick fix and it doesn't happen. And there's, because I want the quick fix and it doesn't work. We got to do our own work.
And remember that it's all for everybody, for Holly and everybody. This is all a work in progress, meaning like if you have a conversation with your child one night and it feels like really stunted or that you didn't get anywhere, you still have the conversation. It's still an opening. You've still begun. What we want, like Todd said, we want to have a conversation, then change happens, but it's staggered. And all of us who have children who are like above 7 years old, we've seen how something we worried about at 3 or 4 goes away. And I know gaming will stay around. I'm not saying gaming will disappear, but what I'm saying, that may not be their biggest focus when they're later in high school or in college. There's some maturity issues related to it, some relationship issues. Mm-hmm. Like my nephew was such a big gamer in middle school and even early high school, and he's still a good gamer. But now that he's, you know, later high school and college, he had so many other interests that it didn't go away, but it dropped away. Mm-hmm. It's like 10th on the list versus number one. So my point is that the conversations, it's like movement. It's like energy. Instead of stagnation is I'm going to get pissed and I don't know what to say and how to, it's like, you know.
Well, I used to always worry about my kids reading. One is I don't do a lot of reading. So that's one thing. I need to own that. And then, you know, when they're like 6 or 7, like they got to start reading more books. And then all of a sudden something magical happens and you realize they're reading. And, you know, so it's all like comes in waves. Like you worry about this thing and then you forget you even worried about it in the first place. It's just, you know, it's funny how, you know, once again, I think we started at the beginning of the call, how our ego is just seeking out things that are going wrong in our worlds. And the minute that one thing starts going right, it's just going to shift to something else.
Yeah. So I know, Holly, that's a lot of like words on you. But hopefully it's just these conversations just kind of expand the way we look at it. It may not change everything, but it's like, how could I feel different about it so it doesn't cause me so much anxiety?
That's exactly it. Like if I could come from a place where, cause I don't want to come from a place where I'm fearful and I'm uncomfortable. It's not him. It's me. And I know that rubs off on him then not having the confidence cause he feels like there's something wrong.
Exactly.
That's what, yeah.
And that in itself of like, you know what like just busting in his room for a minute and being like, you know what I realized? I'm so uncomfortable with this, but I don't know why. Like telling him, like, I'm so, you don't have to say, I don't know why, because then he's like, well, I don't know what to do with that. But you can just say, I'm realizing I'm super uncomfortable with video games. Do you know I didn't grow up with this stuff? Like, I don't get what you get. Tell me. So, and again, you know his personality. Like, I don't want to create the conversation for you. But this is the thing that's interesting about parenting and why Todd brought up, like, dive deep into yourself, because that's on the table. Like, we don't have to come to our kids and say, okay, I've worked it all out. Here's the plan. You can come to them and be like, I'm uncertain about this, but it has nothing to do with you. I'm uncertain about this.
Every problem in my life is here for me to learn from it. And it's really hard to do it because our ego is like, no, this is a problem that needs to be fixed. And if we can look at this, like, you know, screen time, anxiety, all these things that we talk about on Team Zen, if we can look at it like, wow, this is an opportunity for me to learn something about myself, but that's not the way our ego is constructed. So
it's the same ego that doesn't want us to breathe.
Right.
It's like, no, fix it, yes. Fix it. That's what our ego says to us.
Like one of my most annoying questions from an author, I just read this book from Locke Kelly, and one of his invitations is like, who would you be if this wasn't a problem? Like, and it's so frustrating, like, but it is a problem. So why am I pretending that? But it's just like, it gets me out of my logical thinking head. Like, is this really a problem? Because there's a lot of other problems out there that are worse than this silly one that I happen to be worrying about. But because it's top of mind, it consumes our precious energy. So,
and then, like, to wrap that up, that's exactly it, Holly. What you're asking for is if you were like, is this a problem? And you're like, I don't know. It may not be. And then you have the conversation with him. Your energy is totally different. You're not demanding anything. You're not imposing. You're just like, I don't know if this is a problem, but I'm just inquisitive. I'm curious. Like, yeah. And then that's not the last conversation you have with him. It's an open conversation that continues, you know, once a week or whatever. So it's just the work about if we think something's a problem or needs to be fixed is the first shift, because then we talk about it different.
Right. Yeah. If we can come at this from a lightness, like I take life way too seriously. I know that for a fact, but if we can approach our kids with whatever challenges that we happen to think that they're struggling with a place of curiosity, a place of playfulness, Kathy's really good at that. Like whenever, you know, there's some annoying behavior that happens because our kids are doing something that we don't like, you almost always come at it from this energy of playfulness and lightness. And that's why they respond to you so well. That's something I need to work on. So anyways.
Thank you. That's nice of you. Yeah.
So real quick from Anita, I've recently found a resource on YouTube for general parenting strategies that I found very valuable. Not the complete answer to every issue for sure, but it's given me confidence in some of my problem areas. Live on Purpose, Dr. Paul Jenkins.
Wonderful, Anita. Thank you.
Thanks, Anita.
Live on Purpose, Dr. Paul Jenkins.
So that's it. Dawn, sorry we didn't get to you. And Aaron, sorry we didn't get to you. Facebook is there. Or just save it until our next Zen Talk.
Yeah.
I don't know when our next talk will be. It might not be for 2 weeks because we got some travel coming up, I think. But just stay tuned to the emails that hopefully I send correctly.
Do one next week, huh?
We'll see. I don't know. So that's it.
Or send individual emails to us if you're like, no, this is time sensitive, or if you want to write it on Facebook, we will take the time. I think I told you guys this, but I deleted Facebook from my phone, not from my computer, because that's how I connect with you guys and friends and my aunt and my mom. You know, like I still go there, but not having it on my phone, and it was hard. It like felt like taking off a finger or a toe or something, but I did. And it's been very nice because that's why I put that, that article about doom scrolling, about how like you just scroll through and read all the horrible stories. And I would do that before bed and I had to stop.
I want to thank everybody who we usually see on Zen Talk. So Thank you to all that we usually see, but I also want to say thank you to the 90 or 85% of people who don't get on a live Zen Talks,
but who listen.
But listen, and they continue to support us with the $25 a month. I just want to say thank you for that. I don't think I do a good enough job expressing gratitude because it really supports what Kathy and I are doing. So thank you.
And it gives us a team.
And then I don't know if it's possible, but Lindsay had a dog that showed up. And I want to meet that dog. can you?
Hi.
Hold on. I got to see who this is.
Who's that? Look at that dog.
Lindsay, who is that? Because he or she is gorgeous. And
this one is, her name is Blondie. She's brown, but her name is Blondie. And then the white one that was up here in my face, her name was Allie. I don't know where she went.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we have one more that's outside named Shiloh.
You know, next Zen Talk, bring your pets. It's kind of like White Sox have bring your dogs to the White Sox games. Bring your pets. We'll bring Smokey. And if you guys, Peggy, you bring one of your teddy bears, because I know there's one within arm's reach, I think.
Peggy's got all sorts of teddy
bears.
It'll
be bring your animal to Zen Talk Day.
I'm envious, Lindsay. We've never been able to have a dog, but I know that it would alter my, I know it would help me calm down. Like mm-hmm. I just, when I see people with their dogs, I just know, and we have dogs in the neighborhood that we love. So we try and pay attention. Look,
there's another
dogs.
One. Hannah has somebody
oh,
there.
There's oh, there's a baby.
And Anita has somebody
oh, there's
there.
There's another baby.
Oh my gosh.
Let's just all go grab all the dogs.
Yes.
They don't, they're like, what are you guys worried about?
Yes.
I'm getting fed. You're petting me.
COVID?
What's everybody upset about?
No, COVID.
That's what the birds tell me every day. They don't really, I'm not like, but they just chirp and they're like, nothing's changed.
Everything's
they're
fine.
Like, Kathy, everything's the same. The tree's here. The wind is blowing. I've got my bird seed. Chill.
My quick deep thought is I was just walking yesterday and, you know, a bunny and a bird were just kind of like walking close to each other. I'm like, I just, like, what's that rabbit thinking? Like, oh, there's a bird. Like, are they friends? Are they
enemies? They coexist.
Are they neutral towards one another? Are they happy that the bird, is the bird happy the rabbit's there?
Yes.
Is
to me.
The rabbit happy that the bird's there?
I don't
there?
Think happy is the right word. They're just, that's life. They are like, this bird lives here with me. I don't
I
think
want,
they.
I want them to be like friends.
I well, let's, we're going to do our book, Birds, Bunnies, and
Rabbits.
Rabbits.
No, Birds, Bunnies,
and Squirrels.
Squirrels.
And you can have them be friends in the book.
Because they're friends in Snow White, right? Or is that Cinderella?
Well, it's every princess book. They're
oh,
always friends.
Do they all do that?
Yeah, they always help clean the bathroom and stuff.
Mulan. Stay tuned. All right, guys, we got to go.
All right, love you guys.
Oh, there's Peggy's got a teddy
oh,
bear.
Oh, there's a teddy bear. That's Gear. I know that teddy bear. That teddy
you
bear
know
travels.
That teddy bear's
of course
name?
I do. That's Gear. Oh Gear God. Travels with my aunt everywhere.
Real,
everywhere she goes.
Real quick, we go to Peggy's house sometimes in Galena, and I always want to play this drinking game when my friends and I go there, and it's whenever you see a beer, you
a bear,
you have to drink a sip of beer.
But then they'd be really
it would
drunk.
Last 4 minutes because there's hundreds of bears. Either in a picture frame or real bears. So that's a dangerous game.
It is. But teddy bears are not dangerous. They're the best thing in the world.
What
so
about...
You got to let them go. It's
okay. All right. I want to talk more, but isn't there any evil teddy bears out there, though?
No, no. Don't. That's not the
Sorry.
Way to end. No teddy bears are evil.
I'm thinking
They're
of
all
Chucky.
Good.
I'm thinking
yeah, that's
of Chucky.
A doll.
Yeah. Okay. Keep trucking.
Okay. Bye, friends.
Adios.
There are no evil teddy bears.